We're continuing with the laws of Kashrut, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, on the laws, on the dietary laws. We're moving forward to the second chapter. Isu basar v'chalav, the prohibition of meat and milk, eino dafka im bishel basar mamash im chalav mamash. It's not only if you cook meat and milk together. You took some chillin meat, you put in some milk, cook that. That's the isur d'oraita of basar b'chalav. But not only that. El afilu be'ofen shebishel basar v'toch kedei bishul. Even if you're cooking meat, you have a pot of chillin cooking, and as you're cooking, kibel tam chalav. Then the milk flavor came in, and we'll see examples of that in a second. Obishel chalav, or you were heating up milk, you wanted to make yourself a cappuccino, you wanted to make yourself cereal, so you pour it in the oats, you pour it in milk, you're cooking it. Ve'toch kedei bishul kibel tam basar. And you didn't have a piece of meat fall in, but you had meat flavor come in. So we're going to see examples of that in a second. Asumi d'oraita. So that is a biblical prohibition of cooking meat and milk together. And here we learn a concept. It's a Gemara some of you learned in Tractate Yuma. It's discussed in Tractate Psachim. The Gemara tells us, tam ke'ikav. Flavor equals the object itself. Meaning, if I have meat flavor, let's say I make a meat broth. I take out the meat, but now there's meat flavor in that water. You cooked, you made the broth of the meat, right? You have gravy. That's not meat. That's water and flour and other stuff that was cooked with the meat, but it has the meat flavor, so it's just as prohibited as the meat. People, sometimes, I was once at a restaurant, someone had an engagement party. One of our students married into a very pish-posh family, and they had an engagement party in this fancy schmancy restaurant. So the girl was already coming in age, and when she finally got engaged, her parents threw a bash. Wow. So we show up to the restaurant, and all her friends are Sephardi. So they serve meat, and the meat isn't glatt. Now Sephardim have to eat glatt meat. Sephardim have to eat meat that is what we call halak. And the meat, when they check the lungs of the animal, so there are certain things that show that the lungs were once pierced, that the lungs once had a problem, and then there are things in the lungs that stick together and it's not clear whether it's a problem or not. So Ashkenazim are lenient on that, we eat that, and Sephardim don't eat that. So that's what's called glat or halak. So Sephardim have to eat halak. The father made a mistake, even though he's Sephardi and all her friends were Sephardi. He went to a restaurant that was not really a good kashrut for Sephardim. So all her friends started coming to my table and asking, Rabbi, can we eat? And I said, no, you're Sephardim, why should you eat here? Eat other things, don't eat the meat. Not hungry, what happened? Big deal, so you won't eat this meat here. So then they served on one platter the meat and the chicken. But the chicken was sitting in the gravy of the meat. So just like they're not supposed to eat the meat, well, the gravy equals the meat. Tam kikar. The flavor is like eating the thing itself. So people say, I didn't eat the meat, I just ate the gravy. It doesn't work that way. There was a time when McDonald's used to fry their French fries in the fats of the meat. It gave the French fries a much richer taste. So I remember I once taught a kid who didn't go to a Jewish day school. I mean, his parents didn't know that much about Judaism. And one time we're learning and he tells me, after class I'm going to McDonald's. And I'm thinking, oh no, I thought they keep kosher. So I didn't say anything. And then he thought to tell me, he said, but don't worry, I only eat the French fries. And I didn't know at the time that the French fries were cooked in the non-kosher fats. So this is a concept in halacha. Tam ki ikar. The flavor equals eating the real thing. You can't just say, well, it's the flavor of the meat. The flavor of the meat equals the real thing. And this is d'oraita. So if I have milk flavor that comes in, or meat flavor that comes into my milk, that's prohibited. Now, what are examples of that? The dugma is it. Yadua shekolsir shemevashlim bo chalav harei asir balua mechalav. We have a concept in halacha. When you use most pots to cook something in it, We say the pot absorbs some of the flavor. So if I have a pot that I cooked milk in, and the next time we come to cook in that pot, this is a question that came up this morning. Someone called in with this question. They had cooked in a microwave, which is a very interesting question because it's a different question completely. But they had heated up to the boiling point. They had heated up in a Corel plate. What had they heated up? They had heated up cereal with milk. And only after it was boiling hot did they realize that they had used the meat Corel plate. So now, we assume that if I have a pot that I used to cook something in, so then the pot absorbed the flavor. If I'm going to cook something else in that pot, the flavor comes out into whatever I cook there. So this is called, in halachic terminology, no tein tam, my pot gives out flavor, bar no tein tam, but it is a result of something else that gave flavor. Meaning, my pot is giving flavor that something else gave into it. That's called no tein tam. It gives flavor. Bar no tein tam. It is the result of something else that gave it the flavor. The meat itself just it has flavor and gives flavor. That's no tein tam. If I cook meat in water, so then the meat gives flavor into the water. But the meat gave flavor into the pot, and the pot gave the flavor back into the water I cooked in. So that's called no tein tam, bar no tein tam. Or we say it in short, not bar not. Okay? That not stands for no tein tam, not bar not. So, we have a pot, and we cooked milk in it. So the pot absorbed the flavor of the milk. You're going to cook in that pot again an hour later. So then the milk flavor comes out into your water, or potatoes, or rice, or whatever you're going to cook in that milk pot. Excuse me. And therefore, sir chalavi. If you have a milk pot, afilu naki legamre, even if it is completely clean, im bishlubo basar. If you use that milk pot to cook meat in it, asur midoraita, that is biblically prohibited meat. Because it's if you would cook meat with milk, that's biblically prohibited. If you cook meat in a dairy pot that's been used in the last 24 hours for dairy, so then we assume the dairy flavor comes out into the meat, and that meat is biblically prohibited. Because at the time that you're cooking the meat in that pot, the flavor that was absorbed into the pot goes out into the meat. So this is as though you cook the meat with milk flavorings. And the same would be true with the exact opposite. Sir b'sari naki legamre. If I have a completely clean meat pot, shebishel bo b'chalav, I cooked in it milk. I cooked in it. Some people make pasta with milk. I cooked in it cereal with milk. B'shat bishul chalav, as the milk is cooking, so then yipalet tam abasal chalav. The meat flavor comes out into the milk. So then we view it as milk that was cooked with meat flavorings, and it is biblically prohibited. Okay, so now we started getting into more intricate dietary laws. Okay, we learned a concept of no tein tam bar no tein tam, that there is such a concept as something that gives flavor after it received flavor. That's our pot, right? Meat will give over flavor. So, but a pot gives over flavor that it received. So that's called no tein tam. It gives flavor. Bar no tein tam. It's the son of something that gave flavor. Meaning the meat gave flavor into it, and it gave the flavor back out. So the short term for that is not bar not. So when, now, what flavor did it receive? It received a permissible flavor. You cooked your chulent in the pot initially. You bought a pot from the store. You put it in the mikveh. Now you're using it. And the first thing you do is you cook cholent in the pot. Okay, so what flavor did it absorb? Permissible meat flavor. That's called hetera bala. It absorbed a permissible flavor. We're not talking about a situation where you're going to someone's house where they cook pork in their pot. That's a totally different question. That's called isura bala. Then it absorbs something not kosher. If you want to go to a park and you want to use their grill, so you have to be concerned, depending on where the park is, there are places where people fry on the grill pork, right? You're in Midtown Manhattan. You want to use the public grill. Well, you're going to Central Park. You want to use the grill there. You have to be concerned that that grill has lard on it, has oils and fats on it, and it absorbed the flavors of non-kosher meat. That's called isura bala. It absorbed non-kosher flavor. But our dishes at home are hetera bala. What did they absorb? Kosher meat flavor, kosher milk flavor. They absorbed kosher flavor. That's called hetera bala. They absorbed a kosher flavor. And then when they emit it, that's called nat bar nat. Now, we will learn in future days, we will learn a concept which I'm just sharing with you so you're aware of it. We assume that after 24 hours, after a flavor has been absorbed, it gets pungent. It is no longer positive. So our assumption is that if I have a meat pot, my chillin' pot, I haven't heated up meat in it since Shabbos. So now comes Monday night, and I have a guest in my house who didn't realize this was a meat pot. They decided they're going to surprise me and make ravioli. So they take ravioli with cottage cheese and who knows what, and they start cooking it in the pot. So technically, what do I have cooking there? I have milk products cooking with meat flavor coming out of the pot. But there's another caveat here. After 24 hours, the flavor that comes out is not a positive flavor. So that will affect how we view it halachically. We're not yet discussing that. I'm just saying that's something we will discuss Bezrat Hashem in the next 2-3 times we learn. So far what we learned is, it's prohibited to cook meat with milk, milk with meat. It's prohibited to cook meat with milk flavor or milk with meat flavor. And an example of that is a pot that absorbed flavor within 24 hours. If I use that pot for the other type, if I use a meat pot within 24 hours of its use for milk, then that milk is biblically prohibited. It absorbed the meat flavor. If I used it for milk and within 24 hours I want to use it for meat, that is biblically prohibited. So that's what we've learned so far, that the food will become biblically prohibited. What else do we need to know? What about the concept that flavors can sometimes become batel? There are a lot of details to learn. You guys just realize that every time we learn, we're learning as much as I think our brains can handle. To wrap our heads around it, you have to be aware that every time we learn, we are missing many important details. Okay? Until you get the full picture, you don't have a picture. Okay? Don't walk away and say, okay, I got all these halachas. No, you don't. You have details. And as we learn the details, we will bezrat Hashem build a complete picture. We're still missing many, many details. We're in the beginning stages, but there's no other way to learn it. Meaning you have to work piecemeal. So far we learned many concepts. Today we learned no tintam bar no tintam. We learned that the first 24 hours is a positive flavor and after that it's a pungent flavor. We learned the concept of hetera bala. It absorbed a permissible flavor as opposed to isura bala if it absorbed a prohibited flavor. And for now we have to pause. This is maybe even too much information for one day. We'll continue here, Bezat Hashem, next time. All right.